Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Matt, you've been out and done a bit of the course today. What'd you make of it?
It's going to be tough. It's really going to be tough. Although saying that, the climb itself, the main climb, isn't particularly steep. There's a couple of little pitches of about 10%. But it took me about 20... Actually, I kind of weirdly... I don't go on Strava, but I Strava'd it. I think it took me 25 minutes. I had a compact on. It's going to be pretty grippy, but I think... Because the course is so ferociously hard, and what is it, 4,600 metres of elevation in total, and that brutally steep climb at the end, I have a feeling that it could come down to a situation that we've seen recently, if you take this year's Liège-Bastogne-Liège out of the equation, but Flèche-Wallonne and Liège of late have come down to the last few Ks because people are waiting, and the level's that high now. Everybody knows each other, and a lot of riders ride to power. They kind of know what it takes to win a race like that, unless you're going to be riding in a very, very flamboyant, risky manner. I hope somebody does, but I think, without being overly negative, I think it could happen right on the very last climb, and that's the whole climb. I think it will happen on there, and I think there'll be 40, 50 riders left in contention. And the word on the street I've heard is that the Dutch team are one of the teams that aren't going to leave it until the very end. They're one of the teams willing to light it up on the penultimate or maybe final climb of the main circuit. But it's a tough one, but because it's so hard, that can often mean that riders ride in a slightly more conservative way. But we'll see. It's certainly going to be absolutely brutal. And that descent is exhilarating. I mean, beautiful road surface. You hardly need to touch the brakes. But there are one or two corners where you could still get it catastrophically wrong as well. And that, it's just exciting. One of the guys I was with today out riding touched 101 kilometres an hour, and we were just out training. I didn't do that. I just throttled back and was, you know, out for a bit of a cafe run. But it's a great circuit, but tough, but maybe too tough. Who knows?
Thomas Röhriger, the Austrian former pro who actually designed the course, and I think it was him that actually fanned this final horrible climb. He actually says in his notes that he's expecting some people to be walking up there. I mean, can you imagine that? This is like a Koppenberg scenario.
Yeah, well, it's average kind of 11 or 13% with a pitches of 28, which is ridiculous. And it's canopied. The vast majority of the climb is covered in trees. And this time of the year, the leaves have come off. Even if there's not rain, generally the road's damp because of the condensation and the dew you get. And a couple of mates have ridden up it this last week, and they arrived a few days ago when it was damp, and they said they could hardly get traction on the back wheel. So I believe, could change, we're in for rain maybe Saturday for the women's race, maybe Saturday night, late Saturday. If it's still damp for the men's, you know, even things like really tyre pressure could be absolutely crucial. But when 28% leaves, wet surface, you've got to think about weight distribution on the bike and possibly just like getting off, definitely.
When it comes to talking to the women's on Saturday, who do you see being in contention? The Dutch are so... I mean, in the time trial, Dutch women first, second and third.
Well, Van Vleuten and Van der Breggen can... Although they're powerful rulers, they can also climb. They're kind of explosive on the climbs as well. But I've got a feeling that Kasia Nieuwedoma could medal or possibly win it for Poland as well. She's one of the purest climbers out there. She recently won Flesh Ardèche, wasn't it, in over in France recently, the stage race there. So she's clearly in very good form. And if there's a course that's designed for her, it's this one. But she's going to, it's going to be tough, definitely going to be tough. But she's my tip for the women's race.
If I'm not mistaken, Neodoma won on the descent, I seem to remember, at the Ardèche, but also by chipping off on her own and not looking back.
Yeah, I believe so. And you're going to need that skill as well, because what we've talked about the climb, I've kind of given a bit of information on the descent, but there's a real technical part through the town as well. When you come off the descent, there's 1K of very, very wide open kind of boulevards, dual carriageway almost. Then you swing left over the bridge. And then there's this very, very narrow bottleneck and a funnel into the old town. And it kind of twists and snakes, and there's lefts and right, but it's all on cobbles. And then you hit the bottom of the whole climb. Of course, they go over the first part of the whole climb, about 800 metres worth of it, every lap. So all categories ride that. Then the men, of course, go up the rest of it. But the approach to that, if there's a bit of pace on, it's going to be lined out, because it's like a Kermesse or a Criterium leading to the bottom of the climb. So you've got the climb, the descent, and then the added stress. There's no promenade midway through the circuit. It's actually, I think, going to be quite stressful, especially towards the back end. So that, tactically, could be crucial. And you might see riders thinking, I might try and chip off on the descent or on the climb, just to get a bit of headway and kind of manoeuvre my way through the kind of technical element of the town before the climb itself. So there's loads of these different component parts. And it's a world of three elements, isn't it? The kind of 60K in the valley, the 8 ascents for the men of the climb, or 7 or 8 ascents, and then this horrible kick-up at the end. I don't think we've seen a world like it divided up like that. We've seen them play around with the world's format since Geelong, haven't we? But this is new again, and I think it's quite good. I think it's quite subversive, and I really quite like it. But it's going to... Yeah, you're going to need really... You can play it tactically, but you're going to need very, very good legs on that climb.
If it comes to the men's race, to my mind, it's who's got the strongest components nationwise rather than individuals, because for me it's Spain and Colombia look great. Who else is in the mix there?
France have got a lot of options, although again, word on the street is that, you know, Warren Barguil doesn't get on with Pino, and Pino doesn't get on with Alaphilippe, and Alaphilippe would just want to ride. So and that in itself is fascinating, isn't it? I like the fact that they've all got the jerseys on, but let's be honest with you, they want to win. There's a couple of riders there in particular in form at the moment, and Alaphilippe is obviously one of the out-and-out favourites, but I've got a cheeky feeling that Pino could do a good ride and set the cat amongst the pigeons. And that even if they ride to Guimard's, I don't know what Guimard's plan is, of course, but if I was Guimard, I'd be saying, my joker would be Pino to go long, let Alaphilippe sit back. So the French have got a very, very good team, but it could be internal strife that sort of that scuppers any kind of desire they have. That would be really interesting to see how it plays out. Pino, two stages in the Vuelta, coming in, you know, disappointed in the Tour. He's got a point to prove. I think there could be a lot of needling in that team. And another team that's good, Belgium, Dylan Teuns. Can Greg Van Avermaet get over it? Maybe 3Ks at that kind of grade, maybe a bit too hard. But who would have tipped Greg Van Avermaet to win the Olympics?
We haven't talked about GB, of course. The Yates boys, have they got a chance?
Yeah, I think... My favourite, alongside favourites, Alaphilippe, Valverde, and Simon or Adam Yates. I mean, obviously, Simon, you know, won the Vuelta, but Adam rode in service and is clearly in very, very good form and got better and better. Mm. And we don't know who the leader is, but they've got below Adam and Simon. When I say below, I mean that, you know, respectfully. It's a very young, inexperienced team, but a team that none of the other riders can win the Worlds, but what they can do is look after them. I mean, but I don't think the GB team this year will blow the race apart. But what they'll do is just make sure those lads are as fresh as possible coming into the last couple of laps of the big circuit and get them in position for the final climb. So GB have got, you know, a very, very interesting option at the back end, and the lads are in form. And it wouldn't surprise me if we saw one of the Yates brothers on the podium, you would say, yeah, you wouldn't be like, oh my God, that's a surprise. You would go, yeah, that feels right.
Italy, we haven't touched on, have we? Nibali, Moscon.
Apparently, old Nibali the other day threw his hat in the ring and said, I'm going to ride for Moscon. Leadership is now on the shoulders of Gianni Moscon, the controversial Gianni Moscon. But the bottom line is, he's been performing very, very well, of late in the Italian races, the traditional autumn kind of closing races. He's got a real fiery temperament, as we know. but he's very, very strong. Although you could argue, as Nibali just said, that he's going to take leadership because I really think that I could be a sleeper. You can never rule out Vincenzo Nibali because he can just do his own thing. I mean, the beautiful way that he won Milan-San Remo. Remember, he's only won. There's not many Grand Tour winners who've won two monuments. You know, Milan-San Remo and Lombardia. He is a racer's racer, and you cannot rule Nibali out. But clearly, on paper, the man in form is Moscon.
So, what are you doing here for the rest of the world? Are you with Zwift in a pop-up place over the road?
Yeah, Zwift have got a little pop-up right on the circuit, actually, and you can come and hang out from 10 till 10.
Cheers,
from
mate.
Thursday to Sunday. But yeah, I'm making a couple of videos for those guys. So it's quite interesting, a little bit different. They've got quite a big crew of people out here, but of course they've got the course rendered on Zwift, the Innsbruck course, which a lot of riders have used and has actually been quite a big help. I've been speaking to a few of the riders out on the course today when I was riding around. They said, yeah, we've used, obviously I'm in the Zwift kit. But Zwift are here in full force. But yeah, come say hi and watch the world. Yeah, we're right near the finishing podium and stuff. It's cool.
And talking of open houses on right on the course, here's Stu Klepp. Stu, what have we got?
We've got a little soiree going on for a couple of days. A little while ago, on a previous podcast, I might have mentioned this, that I went out to Innsbruck and visited the guys from BBUC, Brilliant Unicorn, and we've got together with them, and we've got a place here with Fesca Bikes, and we're here all week, and we've got a party Friday and Saturday night. At Gang and Gleba. I don't know how you pronounce
that's
it.
I'm not sure. I thought that was a cracking pronounce. Well, am I allowed to say thank you for my disco socks, by the way? Thank you.
You're most welcome. You're most welcome.
I'm going for Gang and Gleba, but it's on Leopoldstrasse, and it is actually right on the course. So, you know, there's options here. There are options. You can go Zwift. Later on in the night, when it's the party hour, Disco boys.
You can have beer with us. Beer is isotonic. Always remember that. For good recovery. Well, one is maybe two.
Monks only used to drink beer, didn't they? Because the water in the Middle Ages, water wasn't safe.
Yeah.
So they used to drink beer. They're perpetually inebriated.
Do you know where the expression small beer comes from?
You're going to tell me, aren't you?
I am going to tell you. It's low alcohol beer. Because the water was unsafe. Mm. You had this really low alcohol beer, it was like 2%, something like that, and that was better than the water. But I digress. We will be serving probably higher strength beer than that here, I'm guessing. And also, I have to say, it takes a lot to impress me just by standing looking at a bike, but these Fesca bikes, eh?
Yeah, they are. They're beautiful. In fact, they're lending me to one to go and ride tomorrow up the hill climb.
What time are you going up the hill? I could meet you, and we could have a little kind of duke out.
We're ready. We'll stop drinking now.
We should.
Yeah, we should.
I might stop. I'm tapering.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I might have a whey protein mix in a minute and skip dinner.
Have you checked out what the bottom gear is on the bike you're taking?
Nah, it'd be fine. I'll big ring it. If Vincenzo Nibali, he came over here and did a recce of that climb about a year ago, and as Matt was saying earlier about it being wet, he said he compared it to a mountain bike race. It could... the surface isn't great, and if it is wet, you're under that tree line, under the pine trees that are up there. I didn't realise, when people first started talking about that climb, I thought, oh, right, it's just a short, punchy climb. 3K isn't a short, punchy climb. That's a leg bender.
The speeds they're going to be going up, which, I wouldn't want to put a figure on it, but it's going to be quite slow.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a 10-minute effort.
Yeah.
You know, pushing like 400, 500, 600 watts.
Yeah.
It's an insane effort at the back end of a already very, very arduous day. I mean, the world's, of course, what is it, 260 kilometres? It's a long day anyway.
Yeah.
But something like that is, well, it is unprecedented. I mean, I'm thinking back to Colombia, there's a lot of elevation there, but you knew the climb every lap. It was kind of quite formulaic. Mm. But with it being so close to the finish, and it could all happen there, unless you got a selection earlier on, or unless somebody's brave enough to go solo, of course. But it's all ifs and buts. But that, you know, I think it's going to be absolutely critical.
I looked at the course and saw the end of people saying, oh, it's an out-and-out climbers course, I'm not entirely convinced it is. Unless, as you were saying earlier, when it is right, people will ride, you know, people know what each other are capable of, and you're saying it kicking off on the hill climb. I wondered whether one of the longer climbs earlier, a split could happen, because it's quite a long, it's like 11K or something climb, isn't it? Like 5% plus.
Yeah.
where there are ramps of 10% in it, that could be quite decisive in the race, because this isn't a course that you could get a good chase going, I don't think. And
No, that's a really good point. In terms of organised chases, I mean, you're not going to pick up much time on the descent. It's a long, fast, you know, not overly technical, but with a couple of sketchy corners. But most of it, you don't need to brake. If you've got big kahunas, you do not, and it's dry, you don't need to brake down there. There's one or two that you do, but the vast majority, you're going very, very quickly. The only bit you can really get an organised chase on is only about 1,600 metres long, and then you're in the town. Mm. And, you you hit the bottom of the climb, and then the run into the finish, which again is quite technical. Mm. The approach to the big climb itself is quite wide, but yeah, in terms of kilometres, there's probably only like 3 or 4 k's maximum, because it's a 23-kilometre circuit that you could probably chase on, and then before you hit the climb. So it's going to be, I bet there's a lot of DSs, kind of national squad DSs, not exactly scratching their heads, but having to have a really, really, you know, deep think about this course and how they best, you know, use the resource that they have at their disposal. And that's what makes the World Championships so fascinating. You've got, obviously, national squads, internal conflicts in relation to people, you know, teams that riders are going for, and also looking for contracts. And bottom line is, you know, the world's bands are kind of...
Yeah.
They're wonderfully iconic, aren't they? I mean, this is a very, very, very special race. And if you've got good legs, but, you know, I'd go against team orders. If I've got better legs than the guy I would. I mean, I bet there's one or two teams who may have that kind of conundrum, you know. It's going to be fascinating.
Okay, to finish off and put you on the spot, who's you fancy to win the women's?
Cassie Niewiadoma.
Stu?
Same.
I'm going to go with Annemiek van Vleuten. And the men's?
Alaphilippe.
Kwiatkowski.
A double
Polish, yeah.
I'm going Nibali. There we go. Thank you very much. Kenny, good to see you here in Innsbruck. Quite a surprise. What are you doing here in town?
Yeah, many times I'm coming to the World Championships to give advice to the Belgian team on the tactics. But for the very first time, I am coming to Innsbruck in Austria for the UCI Nutritionals Commission. And they have paying me a lot of money to give the advice because of the breakthrough in peace in Belgium. Where peace in Belgium now are basically the Belgian equivalent of olives. And many riders are being the big performances, and they think they can take nutrition to the next level. So I'm talking on the council and talking to guys like Manuel Canziato, who is a nutritional expert on olives, and he's looking at the pea work I've been doing, and he's saying this is the future. So possibly peas in Italy may replace olives for nutritionals. And the UCI, the eyebrows are being raised, and the eye sockets and the balls of the eyes are pointing towards the nutritionals of Kenny.
Interesting you should say that, Kenny, because I saw that Victor Campenaerts got bronze in the time trial. Were you doing some work with him?
Yeah, little Victor is a very small guy. It looks like he was born in 1900, which is normal for him. He has an unusual beard and a moustache. He's a strange guy, but I like him. He's also good at the chronos. But also he is experiencing, we are giving him free, well, not exactly free, but we're offering trade price Science of Shoes inserts because he's a tiny man. And we think he can be less aerodynamic, but also more imposing in the TTs if he is taller. So we are placing the SOS inserts, and we have a bronze medaler. It is not as aero, but he's causing a little bit of fear into the hearts of the rivals. We saw in the final, he's making a massive tempo because of the inserts inside his shoes. And in his mind, he's a taller guy than when he was before, a smaller guy.
That's fascinating stuff. And obviously Sunday... A brutal course, a very long race. Nutrition strategy is going to be absolutely tantamount, huh?
Yeah, you know, I talked to Brailsford the other day. He called me all the time about nutritionals. He said, can you be a consultant for Team Sky? I said, hey, Dave, he'd leave it. I do not want to work for you guys because you don't understand the fundamentals of nutritionals. And so they want to make a PGL. I say no, because I own the rights on a big distribution in West Flanders. It is a big influence. So, but if you have the right B strategy, I know Alaphilippe, he's going to be using a processed marrow piece in the pocket. They're slightly bigger piece than usual piece in Great Britain. They use them for the chips and the fish. And also, we have a big supplier, Flemish Fleece Flyers of Flanders, in 2017. They're bankrupt because of the legal issues, because two people are being poisoned and were very critically ill. But the piece supplier, Patrick's Piece, who supplied the piece for the Flemish Fleece Flyers of Flanders vegetarian piece, they've come on board to be the nutritional supplier for 2019-2020. And Alaphilippe is on board, but we cannot tell this to the public unless it's on a podcast like this. It's okay, it's normal.
I'm struggling to work out how you get marrowfat peas, right, which is basically mushy peas, yeah, how you get that out of your jersey pocket, because isn't it going to be a big messy mush in there?
Now, the wonderful thing about marrow peas, we laminate them with a special coating, like the coating you have on tablets. I speak to Patrick Lefebvre with the Quick Steps, and he has with the Omegas. And he said to me, we can laminate the piece for a low price. So I take the piece to be laminated. And Alaphilippe said, Kenny, laminate my piece for me. I say, it's okay, I do this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.